It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're glad you're a student in this school. There's so many interesting things in the Bible, and some of these things are buried deep in the prophets. I'm going to tell you about a verse today that you may never have read. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 27, and verse 1, and it talks about God as a dragon slayer. Well, you'll see that as we get into it. You see, this is the time where we have our special feature and read from the Rock Cliff Review, which is the bulletin that we pass out on Sunday mornings to the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, to all who attend there. And in that bulletin, the article in that bulletin goes right along with the sermon that I'm going to preach that morning. And that particular morning, I was preaching on Jesus, the Dragon Slayer. You might think, well, how did he come up with a title like that? Well, turn to Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1, and it'll give you the idea. Let me read to you from the bulletin, and you might want to pretend you're sitting and listening to this sermon. I did not decide upon this title lightly. I think you will agree that it is appropriate at the end. An internet search gave me a list of about 60 names of legendary dragon slayers. The stories of these dragon slayers are much the same. An evil dragon is troubling the villages. The dragon slayer enters the dragon's lair to slay it. And in so doing, the dragon slayer becomes a hero. It would be easy to dismiss all these stories as myths, but stories of these dragons have come from Japan and China, Babylon, Egypt, Greece, Russia, Poland, Germany, Spain, England, Scotland, Scandinavia, and the natives of America. How such dragon stories could have come from such a wide range of cultures is baffling. It is suggested that some of the dragons behind these stories may have been the last of the dinosaurs. Often, these dragons breathe fire. Well, is that possible? Well, the bacteria that decay and digest organic matter produces methane, which is a highly flammable gas in the presence of oxygen. Sometimes we produce a little methane ourselves to our embarrassment. Cows produce large amounts of methane, and some of it is expelled when they belch. A large animal like a dinosaur would emit methane from their mouths. All it would need was a spark to set their breath afire. It has been suggested that such a spark could have been produced by the rocks in their teeth. The Bible tells us of dragons. The Hebrew word is tanin. It is found 27 times in the Old Testament. It is translated dragon 21 times in the King James Version. The first time the word is used is in Genesis 1 and verse 12, where it says God created great whales. The word whales is often translated sea creatures in latter translations. Rahab is a dragon that is mentioned 3 times in the Old Testament. Psalms 87 and verse 4, Psalm 89 in verse 10, and in Isaiah 51 in verse 9, each time it appears as a reference to Egypt. Perhaps this was a Nile crocodile. But then there is the Leviathan. And there is a description of the Leviathan in Job 11. It does not match the description of any creature living today, but it does read like a description of a dinosaur. Not only that, Job's dragon breathes a fire. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of the seething cauldron or pot. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. Job 41, verses 18 through 21. Dragons in the Bible often represent that which is strong, fearful and evil. And that brings us to Isaiah 27:1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Of what speaketh the prophet? We dare not be dogmatic. It is suggested that these dragons represent the strong, fearful, and evil nations that are troubling the sea of humanity, namely Assyria, Babylon, and Egypt. Perhaps, but Isaiah is a messianic prophet. Through him the Spirit may have been speaking of something greater. The devil first appears in the Bible as a serpent, Genesis 3 and verse 1. In Revelation 12 and verse 9, he is that old serpent called the devil and Satan. In this chapter, he is also the great red dragon, Revelation 12 and verse 3. The dragon that wanted to devour the child as soon as it was born, Revelation 12 and verse 4, that fought with Michael and his angels, Revelation 12 and verse 7, that deceiveth the whole world, Revelation 12 and verse 9, that persecuted the woman, Revelation 12, 13, that cast out of his mouth water as a flood, Revelation 12 and verse 15, and that went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 12 and verse 17. Later in the book, the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, is caught and bound for 1,000 years and cast into the bottomless pit, Revelation 22-3. In the end, he's cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, tormented day and night forever and ever, Revelation 20 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 says of Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In 1 John 3 and verse 8 we read, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. In the poetic and apocalyptic imagery of the Bible, Satan is the ultimate dragon, and Jesus is the ultimate dragon slayer. Well, that was in the bulletin that Sunday, and that was the gist of the sermon that morning. And I read from the Rockcliffe Review on Monday mornings, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're going to go back to the lesson we've been studying about the Babylonian exile. This is because Jerusalem, they had turned away from Jehovah, and so God brought evil upon them by way of Nebuchadnezzar, carrying them away into captivity. You may want to turn in your Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And in a few moments, we're going to begin studying from verse 18. But in Jerusalem, young men were slain with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, where they had gone for refuge. And no compassion was shown to the young men or virgin or old man or hoary head. The eyes of the king were put out, and he was carried in fetters to Babylon, where he remained in prison till he died. Now in 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 18 we read, all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasuries of the house of Jehovah, and the treasuries of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. The temple, was again robbed, and everything that was left after the formal spoiling of 2 Chronicles 36:10 was carried to Babylon. A description of these things is given in Jeremiah 52, verses 17 through 23. The king's house and the houses of his princes were also robbed, and all of their treasures. In 2 Chronicles 36 and 19, we read that they burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. That's the temple and all the palaces of the city that were burned. All the goodly vessels not removed to Babylon were destroyed, and the walls of the city were broken down. And all this came to pass just as Jeremiah had foretold and warned. In 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 20, we read, "And them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia." All that escaped, except the poorest of the people, were left as vine dressers and husbandmen and carried into captivity. A great number of the best people were carried away before this with Jehoiakim. And then we read 2 Chronicles 36:21. This was done to fulfill the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. For as long as it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Jeremiah had said these things, and they would be in captivity till the land enjoyed her Sabbaths. God ordained that the land should rest every 7th year and keep a Sabbath. And we read about this in the laws of Leviticus 25, 1 through 7, and Leviticus 26, 27 through 35. God warned the people that if they did not obey him in allowing the land to rest every 7th year, he would scatter them among their enemies till the land should keep its Sabbaths. And in the 70 years of captivity, that was fulfilled. Well, we come to the end of that Sunday school lesson, but right at the end, there is this little poem that is inserted in the space remaining, a little rhyme that says, "Seldom can the heart be lonely if it seek a lonelier still. Self-forgetting, seeking only empty cups of love to fill." I turn the page, and I see that the next lesson we have is about Ezekiel, and how Ezekiel encourages the exiles. You see, Ezekiel was carried away into captivity, and he became a prophet to those captives. The lesson text is Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 26. It says, "For thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold myself, even I will search for my sheep, and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places wherewith they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and bring them into their own land. I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the watercourses, and all the inhabitant places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and upon the mountains of the height of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in a good fold, and on fat pasture, and shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will cause them to lie down, saith Jehovah. I will seek that which was lost. I will bring back that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And I will make them a covenant of peace. And will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell securely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods."